thing that's going on. The book of Romans, the second chapter and the first verse is where our reading scripture came from. And it reads, therefore thou art inexcusable. You're inexcusable. In other words, there is no excuse, O man of God, O man whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that thou judgest doeth the same thing. Now there he's not saying not to judge. Now let's not get that scripture wrong. He's saying that there's no excuse for judging other people. And we see this in the nation or whatever. And we see this throughout the world. The way some other political parties or the people in the church or sometimes we judge others and saying somebody's doing something. And in judging that person and in saying that, we ourselves are doing that very same thing. And he says we will be judged according to the measure wherewith we are judged. We see a lot of lying and going forth in the political parties and with the churches and with the evangelists and things now, blaming and pointing the blame. Whereas sometimes it would be greater if you just don't say nothing at all and let this be manifest. In other words, God people see this, and that's why I was saying that maybe, you know, I'll tone down or not say some of the things that over the months and the years I've already said, and that we know where we stand on that. There's no use keep repeating it or whatever. Let those mistakes continue to be made or whatever, and that individual or those people up are storing up wrath on themselves for the day of wrath, because we should be examining ourselves and getting away from the things that we've done or we're doing. And the title of our message is Something Wrong Within My DNA. It's within the DNA, a desire for greatness. And I said it was coming from the book of Isaiah, the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter. The reading scripture comes from Isaiah, the 16th chapter, the 13th to the 14th verse. It says, this is the word which the Lord spoke earlier concerning Moab, when Moab's pride and resistance to God were first known. So Isaiah here is speaking about the destruction that's going to come up on Moab. He's speaking that, it says, now when this was first known, in other words, when you see something, or when this pride was seen within Moab, and over a period of time, like I say, you could start to see things within your children, within your parents, within your relatives or people on the job of things, and sometimes you don't say anything or whatever. But then sometimes you just hold things to yourself or whatever. But this was spoken about this destruction because Moab was used to pleasure. Moab didn't have a lot of tribulation in their lives as this nation. A lot of tribulation hadn't been here. A lot of people acquire wealth and they in prosperous positions or doing things. And they inherited that or they got it the easy way or whatever. That's why a lot of times the roughness in our lives or whatever, sometimes we're not so easy to give that away. If you've worked hard and did something, you don't have a tendency to give it away so easy. It says, but now the Lord speaks, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hired man who will not serve longer than the agreed time, the glory of Moab will be degraded along with all the great population, and the remnant that survives will be very small and of no account. The amount of people that will be left, it's just like Ruth and a few more out of Moab. We hear about some of the Moabites that did survive and God had caused them to be prosperous or whatever. And from each nation, each race, there'll be a remnant left. But it wouldn't be significant enough to be named after that particular population, that particular group. In other words, it would be the church. In other words, the people of God, a composition of all people. That's why it says God had chosen for all people to be saved. And Moab had a chance or whatever and over a period of time. And sometimes if you don't realize what's wrong with you, acknowledge what's wrong with you, someone don't give you clarity of what's going on, you won't be able to do anything about it. You stand within that spectrum or within that thing, and you can't see outside that purview because you within it. It was like I was telling you about Job's self-righteousness, or Job's needing to be humbled by God. He couldn't see it because it was within himself. A lot of times, and that's where I brought back the thing of the book of Romans, the second chapter and the first verse that Deacon had read. Sometimes we judge in others in things in we ourselves doing the same thing. The same thing that we're judging others about, we're guilty of those some same things. So we have to humble ourselves and allow God to work and to show and to grow us, and that we would depart from those things. But the reason we can't see that is because we've been born under original sin. We all condemned. We're born under condemnation. We all, Father Satan is the father of us all to begin with. It's in the blood. There's something wrong. You know, each person have a DNA structure that's unique to that individual. But within that DNA, within that blood, there's a contaminant. And I spoke to y'all once before about a chronic condition. What's a chronic condition? It's an illness that expected to last longer than maybe 3 months. It has an extended period of time. There's chronic conditions such as eye problems. You may be glaucoma or whatever. I have arthritis. The other day I went to the doctor. The doctor told me I had rheumatoid arthritis. I developed rheumatoid arthritis. That didn't manifest itself, didn't present itself till I'm 64 years old till now. But now it's become a crippling condition in me, and I was telling you about my fingers and hands that I can't use them or whatever. Some people have diabetes. You can develop diabetes. You can be born with, there's a diabetes that you can be born with. There's high blood pressure. There's all types of chronic conditions. Now, some of these chronic conditions develop over a period of time, but some we are born with, or God starts us off with that or whatever. But if he shows that, and a lot of times that's what Isaiah was appointed as a preacher, to go and show the people their sin and to preach to them about this sickness that was unto death, about this sickness that was going to destroy them or whatever. Whereas when the doctor came in to me, as we discussed the problem, he told me the problem and how he would address the problem, that he would give me some methotrexate to start off with over a period of a month or so. But if that didn't solve the problem or whatever, he would introduce some other medication, Embryo, Gelzam or something else, to help combat the problem. Because the problem would be stronger than the metric. We all have sin as a problem. That's within our DNA. That desire to be great, that desire to be somebody, to be wanting to be seen, a reputation, or to stand out, that self-esteem or whatever, that's in everybody. That's inherent in us. That's part of original sin. We're given that. We're not given to humility or being humble. And if we are humble or have humility, it's a natural humility. And like I said, some of those people are the worst to deal with. Those are the worst to deal with. Some of those that are humble, the nice and quiet people. You know, somebody say, man, he's quiet or she's shy or whatever. That's some of the biggest devils they are. This humility or this humbleness that we're talking about or preaching about, it comes from God. You have to get this from God. God gives you humility. He gives you humbleness, and you have to, that's why it says, humble yourself under the hand of God. Through much trial, tribulation, affliction, he keeps infusing you with more, like I said, more medication, more like I tell them, they go, add the umbrella of the Jezam to help out. Well, he gives you greater grace. He gives you, as you humble yourselves unto God, he gives you the ability to turn the other cheek when someone smites you on the other cheek. He gives you the ability when you pray to God, when you humble yourself, when you look unto God, through his word, he infuses that into you by his spirit through faith. You have to walk by faith. Now, you have to have faith. And if you're proud, if the pride, your pride causes God to resist you. That's why you can't become humble, because your pride causes God to resist you. I know how to take care of myself. I can handle myself. I can do this. No, sometimes when you just hold your peace and when you let the Lord fight your battles, when you pour in spirit, when you see that you can't do this, that you my body has some enzymes in there that's fighting itself, it's destroying or attacking the immune system. So it's nothing that I can do, because the battle lies within me. The battle is within this nation. The battle is there, so an outside force, God has to be injected into our lives for us to overcome. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. We can't fight the problem. We can't solve the problem. So we have to realize our poverty, our brokenness. We have to humble ourselves under God's hand and realize through prayer and supplication to Christ. I need to find my shoes. Lord, my truck wouldn't start this morning. I need to go. But look, right quick. You can't call Deacon. This truck to start and this is going on. Let me call Uber. God has provided a way. Let me call an Uber or whatever to get the church or whatever. So he has all types of tools in his toolbox for us to have or for us to use, but we have to access them through him. Whatever you need through prayer and supplication, no matter how small, you say, Lord, help me in this. You look unto Jesus. The reason you have to look unto Jesus, because there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and there's destruction, because the minute you attempt to do good, evil is right there. If you don't pray to God, if you're relying upon yourself, you may choose something to get you out of a hole. You may take out a loan. You may ask someone or whatever, but God may say, well, no, you don't want to ask that person. Let God send somebody for you to help. You feeling all alone or whatever, and you marry this person, you may marry the wrong person. Ask God to send you someone. God may not send you to that person or whatever. You chose that person. God didn't do this. You did that. Through your desires, he says, where do wars and things come from? It come from within our members, our desires, what we want, what we desire. A lot of us get on Facebook, on social media, whatever, and because of the anonymity, you such a shy person, you can't confront a person to their face or whatever. So you come out and you do it throwing a brick high in your hand. You do it through a social media and remain anonymous or whatever. That's why I say some of the quietest people are the ones that you need to watch or whatever. We have a situation going on now where some people told or what the president had said or whatever, but he don't know who said it because it was through an anonymous source. And sometimes anonymous source is wise. That's why I say wisdom come from God. So we have to ask God for the wisdom as to how to pursue a situation. There's something that happened out on Sher Flannery the other day or whatever, the other night or whatever, where a three-year-old was killed, some gunfire, where they shot up a car and everything. The car was turned over in the ditch or whatever, and they had shot and killed this three-year-old. It was a lot of gunfire. Or you see on the news sometime where somebody had something and happened, and a lot of times somebody then saw that or whatever, and that witness come forth and telling what happens or whatever. Well, that's scriptural, that if you see something or hear something, you should witness a tale or whatever. But if you notice, sometime the witness, like Crime Stoppers or different things, that witness say, well, I want to remain anonymous. Because it might not be too smart to put your face up on that place, put your name and everything out there saying you saw what happened and you did that, because you living in a cruel and an evil world, they may kill you. They may come back and retaliate after you. The reason this anonymous sources was reporting about the president this way or whatever is because he liable to do them like he did Vittman, the Marine who had told what had happened or whatever, which was truth and honesty. But sometimes you may have to die for your opinion or your view. Even though it's right, it's within God, you have to ask God, is that what you need to do? You know, sometimes through our boldness, I ain't shame. I'm proud of it. Well, maybe your pride to get you in trouble. You remember I was telling you about Ecclesiastes 3:8 or something like that. Don't be over righteous much or whatever, because there are things that happen to good people. Bad things do happen to good people. There are a lot of white people out there marching with the Black Lives Matter or whatever and standing up because of the racial injustice. And according to the book of Michael, it says, you know what that is to do, to stand up for what's right and what's just and what's good. So you holding hands with your brothers, no matter what race or whatever, helping to do that, which is good. But then the other day, there was a Trump supporter that came along and they were chasing after him or something, and he ended up shooting and killing two of them. So two of them lost their lives trying out there doing what's right or whatever to do what's right or whatever. But then I was telling my wife, I said, well, why are they chasing after him or whatever? Because that's going to give the lawyer grounds to say, well, he shot them in self-defense or whatever. And, you know, the proponents of that have already invested over $1 million in a legal defense fund for him. So you sometimes the wicked it prosper. We see a lot of things within this administration prospering or whatever. So sometimes through our pride and we see things and we getting off with different things happening, that pride keeps you to go on and get higher and higher. That's why a lot of times you suddenly fall in that without remedy, because God has allowed you, as the old saying, he's given you enough rope to hang yourself. There's no coming back. In other words, it's fixed and fitted in what's going to happen to you. But God awakens or speaks to some of us. So through this, I was talking to Mr. Luther one day, and he was telling me that he had gout in his fingers, and he had seen Dr. Cerruti, and Dr. Cerruti found out that it was gout he had, and Dr. Cerruti saw the problem or whatever. There was a physician, two different physicians that treated my wife for the problem that's in her fingers or hands or whatever, but none of them have laid their fingers on it yet or whatever. Well, I told her, just keep praying that God send the right doctor, because we can't give up. We have to seek God, and we have to look for him. And if we seek him with all our might and humble ourselves, sometimes it takes time, but he'll send the right person. Jeb Myers wasn't the right person. That was the wrong doctor. So there's a lot of times the wrong one out. But you tried. You have faith in these things. So people will fail you, and things will fail. With this doctor I have, he put me on this track or whatever. So having faith in God that God had sent the right person or whatever. And you remember, you have to trust man to a point, because God works through man. So it's a lot of people that voted for this president or whatever and said they wouldn't vote for him again or whatever. Okay, so if someone fools you, someone turns out not to be what you thought they were, yeah, okay, well, now you change your mind. But the problem comes in with those that see what type person he is and still don't get out of the car. You remember driving the car with somebody and you see that they're doing wrong. Well, if you continue on and contribute to that, you become complicit in that. You can't say you were ignorant of that or whatever. So if you see that you need God, you need the church, you need to get into the church and find out what God's telling you, what blood, you need to be covered by his blood. You need to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. The justification only comes through his blood. That's why he says, come out of Babylon, you in the world. Come out of Babylon, my people, lest you be partake of her plagues. So you don't want to get entangled in this world's affairs. It's good to protest. All these things that's going on may be good in a way, and it'll bring about good. But it tells his people, us, not to be entangled in the world's affairs, not to be a part of that. Unless these things, unless like these two young men, death come upon us and we fall with the world. But we know something is wrong. I know this nation is wrong, and that's why a lot of people say, well, this nation has to fall. Yes. I can understand and see that. But what God's bringing up from this is going to be much better. God's continuing. So we have to see the sovereignty of God, that he is doing something. No matter how much someone does for me, no matter how much my parents, my wife, my children, my church member does for me, I have to still have to have that ability to, if they're wrong in something, to say, well, okay, well, I love what all you're doing for me, but you're wrong in this. This is not right. When to stand up and when to walk away. But in the midst of this blood transfusion that I'm getting from Jesus Christ, as his blood is flowing into me, because I'm contaminated. I see I'm bad through and through, and I can see my wickedness from the beginning, from all this time. What I couldn't see, 3 is the number of divinity with God. That's a number of divinity. So it then came to be manifest that God then opened my eyes to, I can see that I'm wrong. I'm not on a divine track as becoming one of the sons of God. But now, being born again, I can see who I am and what I am, and that I was born of bad blood, and that I need to be born again, spiritually born again, regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ through his word. I need a new mind. I need to be a transforming of my mind, my way of thinking. I need to humble myself under his hand and be shaped and formed by him, because I was shaped and formed in iniquity. I see that. You see, he wasn't born of the blood of a woman. He wasn't born of the blood of men. The blood of men. He came through the seed of woman. So he's the only one that was born not of man, but of God. Yes. He was begotten of God. He was placed in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. So he don't have that contaminated blood. All of the rest of us, our corruptible body has to be changed to an incorruptible body, because we all have this chronic disease in it. We have this sickness in us. In other words, we can infuse and make one another healthier. They say if you could get some blood plasma from somebody that had COVID or whatever, this plasma could help you fight COVID or whatever. But that's still a disease. That's still a chronic disease or whatever. So you still have remnants of that in you or whatever. But this transformation that God's doing, one day he's going to change these corruptible bodies into incorruptible bodies that won't be able to be crippled, that won't carry these chronic illnesses, because you could have a chronic illness and still operate, still live. You know, because you can get a medication that helps supply insulin from you, like your pancreas would do, and you can keep your sugar level low. You can take blood pressure medication to help regulate your blood pressure. Yes. He can find the right dosage of medications to help not reverse but stabilize my immune system with this arthritis, and it'll cause me to function, to my hands won't hurt, to all of the crippling things won't be going on, and the deformity that has been begun in the joints would be arrested at that point. It doesn't reverse, but see what happens, we're looking at a spiritual reversal that God's doing in us. When we're obedient to his word and walking by faith, he starts to change us spiritually, our outlook. We are healed by his stripes. Now, this healing here, this healing, a spiritual healing, is a little bit different. So, like I said, we've seen all manner of things go on in this country, but of this nation, but we can't see it if we've not born again. We can start to see the wrongness of the nation, the wrongness of the people. God starts to reveal that to us who are humbling ourselves under his mighty hand. If we start to get the pride out, if God starts to work with us, That's because now we, unlike Job, Job covered his mouth. He says, now I see. Now you could begin the work because God's no longer resisting you because you're starting to see. As I started to brace y'all, I say, well, the election may not turn out the way you want it, even though we're God-fearing people and want an upstanding and right moral man to win, whether he a Christian or not, but that he has some sort of moral standing, that we think that this Biden would be much better than Trump would be. But if that don't come to pass, we still have to see the sovereignty of God, that God's still in control, in that there are scriptures saying that the wicked is going to rule for a while. That the, his holy people, he's going to turn the holy people over to the power of the wicked, but that he gives us the ability to endure these things. If we would just humble ourselves, instead of mumbling and complaining. See, if we start mumbling and complaining and grumbling, our character is not, the medication is not working on us. In other words, we're resisting his word because we're being disobedient to his word, because he says, be not a mumberer. Obey those that have rule authority over you. So we have to be examining ourselves. Are we walking in the word of God? Because even though we're out there fighting evil or whatever, if we're running after somebody or whatever, and it says lay hands suddenly on no man, and it tells us against violence, we wouldn't be doing that and things wouldn't happen unto us. But if God allows something to come up on us, he'll be able to bring us through that. But we wouldn't be doing evil that good would come out of it. You can't disobey God and expect good to come out of it for you. See, that's what this nation is erring at. They're going about it the wrong way. It's a proud, hearty, arrogant way that they're going after, talking about making America great. It's self-centered. So how can you do evil or crooked it and bring about good? The foundation is wrong. You're not building up on Jesus Christ. And it has to be torn down. And it's going to be tested. There's going to be a time of testing. And that's what happened to Moab. There's a time of testing. Ruth and Oprah, they thought they had a good thing going. But both their husbands died. But Ruth had to give up everything she had and trust and have faith and go with Naomi. She didn't see any promises of her husband. She didn't see anything else. She had to end up denying her whole family and denying the gods and all of the life that she did know. God showed her something was wrong here. But by faith, Ruth went with Naomi. She worked very hard in the fields and everything. But God guided her and led her through who? Naomi. It was Naomi who told her how to dress, who told her how to work or whatever. God's going to send a teacher. He's going to send a leader. He sends the Spirit to guide us and leads us into all truth. But through faith, we have to trust God. We have to have faith in God and be obedient. It's not going to be easy. But Oprah went back the other way. But Ruth said, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. So she humbled herself. But if you're drinking of the water, you're drinking of the wrong water, the water has made you sick. And if you read in Jeremiah and you read throughout, when it says drinking of, and it says the whole world has drinking of the wine of the wrath of the fornication of Babylon. Did you realize that he's talking spiritually here? We see the people that backed this president, that backed this leader. We notice the quietness of the mega churches and everything. And it was the evangelicals who put this wicked ruler in there. So that's a reflection of those evangelical leaders and those evangelical people. In other words, the apostatized church. In other words, that's among us. That's the church is fallen. That's why we see Jesus Christ fighting against the church in the book of Revelations, because they're Laodiceans, they're lukewarm. They have appearance of godliness, but they have no need of nothing. They follow after pleasure. It's an easy life for them. They're like Moab. But it's been manifest. Those of us that can see the wickedness that's within this nation, that's within our people, that's within the churches, that God's opening our eyes, getting us stronger. He describes this, and it sounds like America to me. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st to the 5th verse, it says, what are they advocating? Your best life now, right? A greatness of this world. Name it and claim it. All you have to do is just ask for these things. But understand this, Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days will be hard to bear. It's going to be hard to bear up under some of these days and times. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic and self-focused. All of they're thinking about is themselves. Not the poor, not the needy, not of their neighbors. But God tells us, think of others more highly than you do yourself. Look unto others. Humble yourself there. I can't wear a mask and this and that. Well, isn't that the government? Well, that's where the government is duplicitous in this. That's why I tell you, what kind of leader do we have? You're making regulations and things saying wear a mask, but you advocate don't wear a mask. The people that you hired in scientific proof and everything that advocates the best way to control this is to wear a mask. But you say one thing and you do another. That's why I say in the book of Romans, when it says judging on others, weighing in, you doing the same thing yourself. So wearing the mask is not for your benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. That's why I was telling you the woman that brought us here and that gave us in the Uber, all of their rules and regulations talk about what to do when riding in there, about wearing a mask and everything, and if necessary, have the windows down. She didn't have a mask. She had the mask on, but it was on her chin. It wasn't over her mouth nor her nose. And she had the windows up because she wanted the air conditioner on. Well, immediately I told my wife, I said, well, why didn't you window down? I rolled my window down. I asked the woman, said, you might as well roll my window down. And I rolled my window down, but I had my mask on. Because wearing the mask, it protects the person that's with you, not only you and the person with you. Because I may be getting in this car breathing something that you have. And the thing this summer, they asked it, the president says open up the schools because of money and because of the economy. That says they would be lovers of money more than lovers of thinking about others. So they want the schools open. They want sports being played because of they don't want to lose revenue. They don't want to lose money or whatever. But what about the health of the students or the people that's doing these things? Dr. Birch the other day and Dr. Fossey were saying, well, no, we need to find a way to contain these people at school. Put them all in a dorm together or put them in a place together, because if they chose to go off to college and go to school, don't pick up something and now bring it back home to your parents. Don't come back home with it. Don't come back in here with it. You know, your parents, they may be susceptible to these things. So, okay, I understand that you're good and healthy or whatever, but you may be a carrier. There may be something in your blood that it's in you that you don't know about. Somebody ain't told you or whatever. It may not be affecting you, but it may affect me. Yes. It's in the blood. That strength, I'm healthy, I'm strong. Okay, but that's self-centeredness. You're thinking about yourself. What about those that aren't strong? What about your mother? What about your grandmother? It says, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. And they would be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, callous and inhumane, irreconcilable. That's what the thing I told you about Anonymous, and that's what a conservative newspaper, The Atlantic, reported about the president, of his callous, inhumane statements, insensitivity toward the soldiers that were dead and the way he was thinking and some of the things he was saying. Now, I don't want to get into he say, hearsay, all of this different thing, but a tree is known by the fruit it bears. So you've been observing, and that's why I ask you, are you watching news, are you watching television? Because you can't close your eyes to what's going on. A lot of times your parents or someone will tell you, you stay away from them people, or they're telling you from experience over a different period of time things that they observe, but they know. Sometime that wise gray hair of your parents comes in, that's a sign of, that's a pride of, if it's that gray hair is in righteousness, in the right way or whatever, you should be proud to have parents to be able to give you good advice or good counsel, or older people that's able to counsel you right. They're going to be intemperate, immoral, brutish, haters of good. That's what I say. It's some people don't want you to do the right thing. They don't want you to do good. They don't want you, just because your constitution says that I believe all men are created equal, and then people ask you, well, won't you stand by that and treat all races the same, that all be treated the same, just because we're trying to hold that to the foot? No, we're gonna get rid of all programs to say that, yeah, we can see that y'all are racially intemperate, that you're not treating all people the same. That's what I say. God gives you the ability. This only comes from God. You only know how to love. Y'all are with me. You can only get wisdom, how to see these things, because they are worldly wisdom, and that wisdom is no good. It can't detect the sea or whatever. But as you humbling yourself, God gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to start to see these things. That's when you start saying, hey, this blood transfusion is working. My mind is getting more clearly. I can see more clearly. I'm getting spiritually stronger. I can feel this thing. It's like Jeremiah said, he feel it within his bones. You know, I may not have the power to stand up. I may not have the power to flex my fingers and hands, but I can feel it deep within my bones that one day it's going to be there. He's going to infuse me. He's going to pull off this corruptible thing in my mind, I know. You see, in your mind's eye, you can see. He says, they shall be, they're conceited, reckless, traitors, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness of religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. This guy, the way he was dressed in his pictures, he's the president of the largest university, Christian university in the world. But he's dressed there with his pants zipped down, the woman's pants zipped down. His lifestyle shows something else than what he portrays as a Christian. And that's because we have so many unconverted people in the church. People get unconverted people to sing for them and run an organization, because you run the church as you're running a business. And like he said, he had never claimed that he was a minister or a pastor or whatever, but he was a good businessman. But the Bible tells us, be not unequally yoked. In other words, don't tie up with this world. Just because someone can run a large mega church or large corporation or whatever, that doesn't mean that they're any good for God. They may be greedy or filthy lucre. So it's not get rich at any cost. You know, that's black money that you've made this with. What moral stability is it going to take this test of fire? So you have, that's the danger here. That if my children, and if your children, and if we're not attending church, if we don't take his yoke up on us and learn of him, and the only way we can learn of him is to be taught by him. Yes. And the only way to be taught by him is through daily reading of the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying to God, humbling yourself, and by the edification that comes through the church. You can't do it outside the church by yourself. He wouldn't have left those gifts in the church. You proud, arrogant, and high-minded. That's why I say some people, you can't tell them nothing. They know it all. I can get it. I can fix together my religion, and you cobble together something. There's some kind of edifice that you think could get you through. That's bad. That's good. Bad. It says, avoid such people and keep far away from them. Does it say make alliances with these people or not? Or does it say avoid them and get far away from them? Don't just because they go put who we want on the Supreme Court. Don't just because they're doing something we like make friends with them. It says avoid them and keep far away from them. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women, weighed down with the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses, always learning and listening to anybody who would teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. If some people sit there and listen to Trinity broadcasting, listen to every preacher, come on, well, I listen to all of them. Well, that's not very wise. You know, that's what the world gets us into, is multitasking. You know, doing two or three things at a time. Well, it's just not that good, that a lot of people can't pay a train of thought to one thing. You have to make sure you do that one thing right. But you see people going down the road sometime almost with both wheels off the steering wheel, texting, doing things. They have to make laws of no texting while driving or whatever. But it's people going along doing all kinds of things. I don't ask, you know, how often do you ask people to watch TV with you anymore? Because if we're watching television together, well, we should be watching television, but you shouldn't be on your phone. You should be doing all these other things. Now, you didn't see this happen, so you don't. Some of the things, you know, if you're not having your eye on, some people are seeing what's going on. People's emotions and their dispositions, if you're not watching their body language and everything, you don't know what's going on. Body language and all these things, it counts. So we have to be observant, walk circumspect. A lot of people just roaring off and not watching their surroundings and the thing, what's going on, and that's how we get a trap. It says walk circumspectly because the devil's out to trap whom he may. He's very devious. People are very devious, and they're watching you when they think you're not watching, and they multiply. There's another Jesus out there. So all these preachers and things, all these mega churches, that don't mean that they're right. Just, you don't embrace somebody just because they name the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean very much sometimes. There are people who stand right in the pulpit and lie to you. Stay sitting right at the communion table and lie to you. The president was saying, find me anything to swear upon or whatever. Will you stop saying that? If you was a Christian, you'd realize that the Bible says, swear not at all. So if you got to show somebody, you got to hold up some Bible for somebody to think that you're right or whatever, you got a problem, because you shouldn't have to prove anything to anybody. They should be able to see it or know it by your walk. No. Jesus didn't try to go around proving himself. Do God go around sticking his head out the clouds or out the sky and say, hey, I'm here, I'm God or whatever? Or do you have to have faith and just believe that he is? But like I said, they're always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Here in the book of Timothy, we learn the name of two of the magicians that had opposed Moses. And that's what I tell you. Just because a false prophet's a false prophet, he may not even know he's a false prophet. He's not going to back down. And that's where the false religion has it wrong today. Just because you're in a church, just because your name is Graham or Farwell, or just because you saw a mega pastor or something, that doesn't mean I worship the ground you walk on or I pay attention to anything you say. The president of the United States, it's not much people that, you know, the guy that got shot the other day, his parents didn't talk with the president because they were saying that they wanted a lawyer present or whatever. Well, Joe Biden agreed to that or whatever, having the lawyer present, and he talked to them. But the president didn't. But anybody, you know, you could have a lawyer president talk with him, and still he like to try to buy the lawyer out or whatever. It ain't going to make that much difference, you know. You know, if a person's corrupt, you know, women are normally smarter than men. And the smartest voice I heard on that was Nancy Pelosi when she said, that she wouldn't, if she was Biden, she wouldn't debate the president. I think that would be a right position, because it's no use arguing with him or talking or speaking with him on this. You know what the deal is, but the opinions will go along with the things of the world or whatever. But some people, you just quit talking to and say, I couldn't believe anything he says. Some people, you don't believe anything they say or whatever, and I don't listen to their speeches or whatever, and more than less like you to put me in a place where I'm going to believe whoever said anything that you said might have said, or you know, I ain't gonna get tangled up in it, but more than less likely you did it if it's something wrong. But the name of these two magicians was Jannes and Jambres, the court magicians in Egypt. They opposed Moses, so these men opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, unqualified and worthless as teachers in regard to the faith. But they would not get very far, for their meaningless nonsense and ignorance would be obvious to everyone, as that was of Jannes and Jambres. So those of us who are following God or know of God, we can see people are wrong, but people that are fooled by these people, you better watch it, because those people will kill or die for that person or that individual. You have to be careful. So there's no use trying to persuade them or whatever. They're just not some of the chosen. They don't need to know. It's some things, some people, it's not for me to tell you. I preached and did what I was supposed to do. Well, I'm not going to force this upon you. If God wanted you to know, he would open up your mind to receive this. So that's where, like I said, we have to have a conversion. And with conversion comes self-renunciation. You start renouncing who or what you were. That's what Paul started doing. Self-renunciation. You start self-denial. Start denying yourself and start crucifying the old man. You put him to death. Unlike Solomon. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, you see Solomon was wealthy and the wisest man that ever lived. And he said he didn't deny himself of anything. He didn't deprive himself of anything. He was given the pleasures, but he was the biggest fool that ever lived. That was the reason the kingdom was divided, and the only reason God didn't divide it in the time of Solomon was because of David. It happened under his son. But Solomon started to worship. Now, this is the wisest man that ever was. He said he, among 1,000 men, a thousand women, he couldn't find one wise woman or whatever. He had 1,000 wives or whatever. But Solomon, listen to what Solomon did. He built a temple to Chemosh, the god of the Moabites. He married a Moabite woman. Now, I guess his reason was secular reason or whatever, because his grandmother, great-great-grandmother, was a Moabitess, Ruth. But listen at Ruth. Ruth was smart enough to say, your God, in other words, the true and living God, would be her God, right? She left Chemosh, the same God that this fool, Solomon, supposedly the wisest man that ever lived, but that was a natural wisdom that Solomon had. That's what the world has today, all of the wisdom and Solomon had. That's why Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all was vanity. He didn't see anything in the world. It was vanity. It all came to vanity. That's why God sent all kinds of enemies and things against Solomon, because he had warned Solomon. God appeared to him twice in a dream. You remember I said God shows himself to... He appeared to Solomon twice in a dream and said, Solomon, these women are going to draw your heart away from me as you get older. And exactly that happened. But Solomon built temples for the God that this slave girl, that this Moabite, Ruth, is. Ruth rejected Chemosh, but Solomon built the temple for him. So we see today, people reject the true and living Jesus, building a temple to this other Jesus, to false gods. But we start feeling negative. Those of us that start to deny ourselves, we start pulling off the old man and putting on the new man. We feel naked and ashamed. You're like, Adam, I was afraid because I'm ashamed. Let me put off this old man. At any price, you stop lying. Don't care what happened to you, I'm not going to lie about it. You're not going to lie about it, right? It says, lie not to one another. So instead of lying to you, I'm just going to accept the consequences that happen or whatever. You know, in this church, you know, all of my members, even any of them, if anything has happened, y'all say, well, look, I can't pay my tithes. I'm not going to do this. I know you shouldn't be lying about it. I just can't do it now. But Ananias and Sapphira lied about it, right? See, and they say how much Farwell says his whole family took millions from this organization. Lapierre took millions from the NRA. We see what the president and his family are doing. They're lovers of money. But instead of this, you say, God, I'm coming before you. I don't have anything, but it's no use lying about it. I'm going to give it and I'm going to do these things. So you stop lying. You start living lives. I'm not going to talk about this person. I'm not going to talk. You stop doing what you start seeing. You, what you're doing, you're pulling off the old man. You start putting on Christ. It says, Colossians 3, away then with sinful earthly things, dead and evil desires lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't worship the good things of life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger is upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger and hatred, cursing and dirty language. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now that it's dead and gone, that's buried in the grave, I rose up to a resurrection of a new life. I walk in the newness of life. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. When people come around me or whatever, I say, man, get that stuff away from around me. Oh, man, it's legal or whatever. I understand it's legal or whatever, but I don't need it. Legalize marijuana all you want. Drinking is legal. Before the prohibition, it wasn't legal or whatever. But I don't need that. I don't live that way. People think it's strange. Oh man, this woman looks at it. No. I got a wife. I got this or whatever. When you start denying yourself the things of the world, I don't run in a crowd. I'm not trying to get rich quick. All of these desires and things, it says, die to these desires. God's going to give you the correct desires, because that's where the sickness comes from. It says the reason you don't have is because you're praying to God and you asking Him for the wrong things. You ask because of the lust that's within you, the desires. That's what have you so stressed out with so much anxiety. You're wanting the wrong things. You want to do the wrong things with them. But when you pray to God, when you ask Him, you know that you will receive Him, because He tells you in His Word, anything that you need, you just ask in my name. In prayer and supplication, I'll do that for you. So you start being careful of what you ask for. And then you go to Him and you're so broken and poor in spirit, says, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. If thy will, if you want me to have this, is this is decent and right, Lord God, this is what I need. This is what I want. Talk to God, that intimate, that's where we're going in the next couple of weeks, in prayer, that intimacy of talking to God. He said, I'll be a friend when you're friendless. Do you have a friend that you can go to and talk to about anything? I'll be a father when you're fatherless. Do you have that kind of intimate relationship with your Father that you can talk about Him or talk to Him about anything, that He's there for you, that you're not afraid of Him, that He's that solid figure that will give you the correct information or whatever? And that's one thing me and Roland was, my brother was talking about the other day when we was talking about Papa Rock or whatever. We've never seen him get riled up and holler and shout. He was always humble and just meek, mild, and no temper. That was admirable. In other words, he walked that walk. No matter what Mama Meaden did to tick him off or do this or whatever, he didn't raise his voice. He didn't get all over anxious or whatever. Now, my real father would. That was some of the things that was in his blood that was a weakness, and I can see it was a part of me. And that's the things that I'm trying to pull off, and God had placed those as an example in my life and other people, that I don't get so agitated. I don't let things get so discombobulated, and that's what he did. That's why he put Jesus here. We see that Jesus walked that way as a man, and that was our example, so we can walk as he walked. He was our example, and other men he put there. So it's easy. In the morning times on the weekend when Deacon Hubbard called me or whatever, man, that's a good thing. Deacon's up in the morning. It's in his blood. Now he's waking up so much or whatever at 5:30 or 6 or whatever. He's been called. He's there. He's up or whatever. Those are examples. What are the good examples around you? That's why I say God puts different people around you, and you have to pull out the good. You always see the good in other people or what's good there. But also you have to be able to see and distinguish the bad and tell other people to stay away from the bad and what's not right. And that's our witness. That's why we have to witness. We have to speak out, and we have to speak these things forward and testified of and lifted up. Is that good? That's good. You see what I'm saying? Of all of the years, how many times do you see as me preaching and teaching, do I really or sometime I press him hard or whatever? But you see how Deacon Hubbard just not, you know, like I say, as a deacon, to me, I've never had that rebellion that as hard as I push sometime. Philippians 2:7-9 says, this is of Jesus, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, being found in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. So we see here where we have to get that. We have to get that nature up. That's what's being injected in us. That's the mind. That's the blood transfusion that we should have. It's not to desire that greatness or whatever. We need to, from Jesus Christ, from his perspective, from what he did, he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He suffered. Using this world, but not abusing the world. We are to dress, but not to be seen as a fashion statement. So, I use the things of the world. I used the Uber this morning. I used my computer. God's created all kinds of new mechanisms and things for us in this life. But we have to walk circumspectively. What brings greatness? If you want to be great, the disciple who was arguing about being great or whatever, in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, says, at that time his disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child and set him most solemnly in front of him and said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, notice that what the master said, unless you repent, that's a turning away. See, that's why I say the world is incorporating the things of Christianity in their lives, but there's no repentance. There has to be repentance. Repentance is not preached into the church. The churches are saying, come as you are. No, it's not come as you are. We're going to have to knock this out of you. We're going to have to blind you to this. You have to be changed. He's going to give you a new heart. You have to turn away from the old man. You have to crucify him. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. In other words, these problems and troubles, the things that conflict you, you're going to be put up on the cross. This world's going to hate you. This world's going to turn against you. You're going to have relatives. I remember some of the people in my very own family, when I was turning and doing this, oh, he's going crazy again. He's going crazy again. See, as you spiritually get strong, as you start, you become a holy roller. You become started to do things. Now, I'm not saying some of the things that I once did wasn't crazy things. There was times that I really wasn't mentally stable. But that's one thing about it, in an honest evaluation of yourself. Because you remember Jesus, people came to get him and say he's gone crazy. He's in the house talking these things. So sometimes you have to evaluate yourself. Is this a genuine right criticism? Is this right? What people are saying to me about me, is it true? Can you honestly look at yourself and say, yeah, this is true. I need to change this, or they may be right on this. See, that's a humbling yourself there, is to say, no, they're right. You notice they say the worm Jacob. Paul said he was less than all of the apostles because of what he did. You start seeing yourself, and that's the only way this transfusion is going to work. You can't put new wine in an old bottle, it's going to burst the skins. You can't combine the two, it's not going to work. You have to put the new wine in a new wineskin. It says, and become like little children. In other words, trusting, humble yourself, and forgiving. You will never enter into the kingdom of God. Listen to those things. Trusting, which is faith. Having faith and trusting God, which leads to a certain amount of trusting man that he's said, this is from God. Humble yourself. In other words, some situations or whatever, it's not going to be like you thought it was. It's going to be an oppressive situation, a situation that you're going to need the grace of God to bear or to go through. But he's going to give you greater grace. He's going to give you the ability to go through. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but he has to be the one who strengthens you in those things. Forgiving. You're going to have to forgive everybody, anybody. That's why I say, even the president, is what he's saying and doing or whatever, it's going to have to be forgiven. You're not holding this. Those are remitted back. That's why I say, I'm not holding anything, but a spade is a spade, huh? So you're not building up bitterness or whatever, but you notice that Jesus, even though he didn't hold this against the Pharisees, he didn't mingle with the Pharisees. He kept his distance from the Pharisees or whatever. So we're not going to all get together and sing Kumbaya and, you know, and walk hand in hand here. We're going to live as peaceful as possible with all men. But let God be God. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he got down and washed the disciples' feet. God awards greatness. God's the one awards greatness. So when the mother came to him, you remember the disciples' mothers came and says, I want to ask of you something and give it to me. He says, can my son sit at your right hand and left hand? Well, notice what Jesus said. As a man, this is what Jesus said. Now, that's three times I've seen Jesus as a man. Here he says, you shall indeed drink from the cup I drink of, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to those of mine. Those places are reserved for the person my Father selects. It wasn't up to him to say who sets it, because God does that. So you remember he said his Father is greater than he is? Because God's recording each transgression, everything that you're doing. He's forming and shaping your character. That's the part of the Godhead that's God. That Jesus was begotten from God. So he had the position of the Son. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and that's what's leading us and guiding us into all truth. That's what's within us. But God the Father is a person of the Godhead. So the Godhead contains three persons, but it's one God. That was a lot of confusion for me when I came to Pentecostalism, but it was my mother who made that clear to me. About God the Father. He says you pray to God. Remember, I was at one time, I told you I was in the oneness Pentecostalism, but my mother was the strongest woman I had ever met. But she, in that, in her firmness, and throughout, my brother sitting right there, I asked him, how many people that you've known? I asked my wife, she's sitting there, that crossed mother's trail and crossed mother up. She'll tell you my mother didn't play no game like that. That's why I sit here today. So God, Jesus said, it's God's place. Stop making decisions it's up to God to do. You understand that? If somebody asks you, that's not for me. Put it in God's hand. Jesus says, that's God's decision to determine what position in life you have. It's God's position to determine what your children do or what happened. You remember they asked Jesus about when will the kingdom be restored? He says that was something that was in the Father's hand at what time he was restored. Those things that belong to God, stop playing God. And that's what we are talking about in Romans. Stop judging people. Stop doing all these things. If you're judging according to the standard of God's word and according to God leads and guides you, but that's up to God to judge people. And that's what I say. Whatever happens, happens. I've done all God told me to do. But everything else is in God's hands. So Jesus didn't exalt himself. He humbled himself. And he talked about the way the world is structured, the earth is structured. He says, but Jesus called them together and said, among the heathen kings are tyrants, and each minor official lords it over those beneath him. But among you it is quite different. Anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. Your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So if you want to be great, stop trying to be top dog. You start serving people. Don't come to church and ask what the preacher can do for you. You come to the church and see what you can do for God. You go to the world. You go in life and see what can you do as a servant. If you humble yourself and find what God has it for you to do, try to please God. He'll lift you up. He'll make you great. Stop trying to be somebody. Stop trying to make yourself of some reputation. God will give you the reputation. And once that old man dies, as we close, we go concluded with this. As you die and putting that old man to death, you will see God keep putting on more and more on you, bringing you back to life. The more you put the old man to death, you will see greater responsibilities and greater things come towards you, because he's going to be lifting you up because you're humbling yourself. You understanding that? He's going to keep giving you more and more grace, and people are going to see this anointing. People will be coming to you, and all this starts happening. But that's what I say. When these things begin to happen, watch it now, because you're going to want to stick your chest out and say, well, you know, and God's leading me, or God's doing this and that. See, that's a humble brag. You really love that spotlight. You glory in that. And you're not really, God's, that he's appealing to your vanity there. Satan is coming in appealing to your vanity. That flesh is being lifted up, and that's what happened with the Pharisees. They liked the accolades of man. They were like the nation is today. I did this, I did this. It's always, you want to hear people say, if you notice, the nation is just like our leader. If you notice, he always lifts himself up. Nobody ever did this. He's the greatest president of all. He asked the South Dakota governor, that couldn't they chisel his face up on Mount Rushmore? Couldn't he be placed on Mount Rushmore? Nobody has ever did more for the black people than him. Nobody has ever did this greater than him. Now, that's why a lot of people don't want to take the vaccine, is because he's saying, we're going to have one ready before October. I know better than the doctors and the scientists say it might not be safe, but I don't have it. See, and that's the spirit of the world. You remember I told you, you're drinking of the spirit of the world. You're in Babylon. And so the world has that disposition. It's the spirit, and that's why it says, come out of Babylon. Instead of humbling yourself, see, that word wasn't known to the Greeks. Humility was a person that was humble or whatever, was a wimp. In other words, to not back down is the American way, proud and prideful. But then God's people, you go first. You lifting other people up. See, so God's way is opposite from the world's way. With God, up is down, and down is up. The world can't understand that. Until you start going down, you can't go up. To lose your life is to save your life with God. To lose your life is to save your life with God. So as God's chosen people, holy and set apart, sanctify yourself and humble yourself under God's hand, and he'll lift you up. And it's what it's going to do. Now, you remember I said with that chronic illness, listen at this as we go, Sister Jackson. Sister Harris, you listening? Deacon Hubbard.
Yes.
Brother Jackson.
Yes.
Listen, the whole church, everybody out there listening, as we do this, anybody listening over sermon, are you listening at this? The whole church, are y'all listening? You may die with a chronic illness, but God's going to change that corruptible body. The disease may not kill you, but he's going to be then injected something into it that it's not the controlling factor in your life. God's the controlling factor in your life. It won't be eradicated. God's the only one that's going to eradicate. That's when he's going to give you a new body. He's going to take out all of the corruptible. But you are in control. He has given you the spirit as a suppressant. The Holy Ghost can tame the tongue. If you have the Holy Spirit, it's the only thing that can tame the tongue.
Amen.
It's the only thing that can keep that blood pumping through your vein of the spiritual blood of Jesus Christ until you're changed.
Yes.
But other than that, that desire to be great, and be aware that when you attempt to do good, evil is right there with you. The moment you're doing something, evil is right there. It's never gone. And it's trying to bring you into bondage. It's trying to bring you into bondage, and that's what God had placed it for. The only way you be strong is when he told Peter, and Peter says, I'll never forsake you, I'll never forsake you. That was Peter's problem, his mouth. He wasn't aware. You have to be aware of self. Self is the enemy. This thing is within you. It's, Paul said, it's within my members, and it's trying to bring you under bondage. You were placed in a body. In the body, you have to die. That body is no longer yours. You have to see it. It's not your body anymore. In that illness that you have, the only way that you can keep that disease at bay is to keep partaking of that table. What we do? We drinking of the blood. We eating of the bread. We show forth his death till he come. And that old man has died. We can't do it. We don't have the ability. We unworthy. That's what we're going to do next week, right?
Right.
We're going to come to the table and say we're not worthy, Lord. Only through you can we be worthy. Through drinking of your blood and eating of your body, which was broken for us. Because our blood, we have to have that transfusion. A new heart we have to have. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God, in us doing those things that are pleasing unto you, Lord God.